Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to Hour Number 2 in the Doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And welcome back. Hour number 2. Tom Abraham Show. On a championship Monday here in the Doghouse, and Ken Cross has been helping us with this tournament throughout the tournament. We really appreciate him doing that. He of collegehoopswatch.com. They got some great stuff there. He's a wonderful writer there, and then also he does a podcast as well. And he joins us now for a final time to set up the national championship game tonight. Ken, welcome in. How are you?
Thanks, Tom. I'm good.
To explain to me and our Michigan fans out there, how Michigan has a chance tonight, because I think you're going to be blown out of the gym. But tell me why that's not right.
You're correct. I tell you what, the spread on this game is 7.5, and it's the largest point spread on an NCAA championship game since 2010. I mean, Villanova is too physical, number one, and the physicality goes with the athleticism. And, you know, they're probably not going to make 18 three-point shots tonight, but they'll be in double digits.
Well, they shot 40-something, so I guess if they shoot 40-something of them, they might make 18 of them. But what would be the scenario or the formula for Michigan to win? Because the other part of it, this line is 145 total points. And to me, if it's under that, Michigan's got a shot. If Villanova's winning, like I think they're going to win, then I think that thing could go way over even 150 points.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. I think Michigan, if they're going to win, they got to be between 60 and 65 points. They've got to control the tempo from the opening tip-off. And then, you know, somebody has got to get up into Jalen Brunson's grill and turn him over or force, you know, Villanova turnovers on the perimeter. But it's got to be really low scoring, methodical, and I don't think the Wolverines can score over 65 points to have a shot.
Do we not talk enough about Jay Wright, you know, and the job that he's doing right now? When I saw he had been there for 17 years, I was like, really? Has it been that long? Mm-hmm. But it seems like, you know, where they're at right now and what they're doing right now, this isn't like a one-off deal. I feel like I'm seeing a Duke-ish type of run where they're going to be around every year, especially the way that league that they're in is made up right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard for me to believe 17 years. I mean, I didn't realize that just when you said it, but he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's phenomenal. He gets it. He gets how to communicate. He's got a system. He plugs talent into that system according to their position. And he's got two big men. I really like watching Omari Spellman and Eric Paschal just because they're bigs at 6'8", 6'7", but their versatility is off the chart and their physicality. I mean, that's the thing I think you define Villanova basketball by versatility and physicality.
Yeah. This Michigan team, I mean, they haven't really played anybody higher than, I think, a 5 seed was about the highest, the way that whole deal worked out in the West. Is this just a one-off deal with Jim Beilein, or do you feel like they can, you know, that they can be around like this for a few years? It's a down Big Ten. There was only 4 teams out of the Big Ten that made a tournament. But do you think these guys hang around for a while, or is this a kind of a one-off deal and we won't hear from them in a while?
Nah, I don't think. I think it's a one-off deal. You know, that those seeds, though, they're just numbers. I mean, I think Florida State was the better basketball team. They just had, you know, moments in that ball game where they just left planet Earth, and it cost them. I also thought Houston was. And, I mean, if you look at the Houston game, Houston's up 63-61. Devin Daniels, their best free throw shooter, shoots over 80%, goes to the free throw line, misses two free throws, and then Jordan Poole just pulls one out of an orifice somewhere, and they win 64-63. So, you know, they've had a good run. They've won 14 in a row, but it ends tonight.
And just how dominant has Nova been? I mean, they've only had a couple of single-digit games, one of which was a loss, since Valentine's Day. But in this tournament, I can't remember a team being this dominant where they've beaten everybody by a minimum of 12. That was Texas Tech and West Virginia. And they're just – I mean, they're blowing people out of the building. I mean, it's just – it's uncanny.
Yeah, that West Virginia game, oh, the Mountaineers totally had control of the game at 60-54. And then, you know, there was a barrage of calls that went in Villanova's favor and no calls. I think there was a couple of offensive rebounds for dunks by Pascal and Spellman over top of Sagabaka Nate. And that 60-54 lead went, you know, down. I think they were down by 7 in like 2 minutes. And, of course, you got to give Villanova credit for that. They did convert all that stuff. But, you know, that's the closest really anyone has come to them. I never felt like Texas Tech, you know, during the game was going to have a shot. But, you know, it was a really good Texas Tech team that guards the perimeter well. And Villanova was able, you know, to flex even on the Red Raiders.
Yeah. All right. You know, I thought it was – patently unfair for Notre Dame on the women's side to be able to play on Good Friday and Easter. I mean, you can't beat Notre Dame on Good Friday and Easter. I mean, come on. And I really thought on Holy Saturday we would get Loyola and you know, and Villanova both to win. So I joked earlier that Jesus has one team left in his bracket, and it's Nova. So, I mean, we might see a Notre Dame, Nova, Catholic, good Easter weekend double dip here, I think is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, you know, the women's Final Four has been far superior to the men's. And, I don't know. It's probably, and it was all one seeds in the women's, bracket. It might be the most exciting and maybe the best played Final Four by four teams in the history of the women's game. I mean, it's compelling. And I was really glad for Muffet McGraw. She's a Hall of Fame coach. She just entered the Hall of Fame, I think, in September. Her X's and O's are right up there with anybody's. And the thing I was surprised about her, I guess I knew and forgot, she hadn't won a national championship since 2001. But Notre Dame's always around. You know, they've kind of pushed Duke aside in the ACC in the women's game. And Muffet McGraw, you know, what a story right there. A lady who was hired, I think, in her 20s, you know, a man named Digger Phelps helped her get the job there at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and look, let's be honest. I mean, there are a lot of times there's four number ones on the women's tournament. There's only six teams that seem like they can play, and it's a very dominant – it's a coach – dominant sport. We saw with Pat Summitt and now Gino Auriemma and the great coaches. I think because I think that there's not that depth of great players. So if you have a good, really good coach in the women's game, you could be dominant year in and year out for a long, long time. And, you know, it was that way with Louisiana Tech and then Tennessee and now UConn and, you know, sprinkle in Notre Dame. Duke's good every once in a while, but it's that same kind of group of people. And that's what you get. You get a Final Four that often has the four best teams. You had to sort through, you know, five other games to get to it or four other games to get to it, but that's what you usually get in a women's game.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, I want to put Vic Schaefer in there from Mississippi State. What a program he's built in Stark Vegas, I guess they call it. But I know. I mean, it. And the thing is, the women's game has come so far. It's grown so much, I'm going to say, in the last 15 or 20 years. Pat Summitt, the lead pioneer, left us way too early. One of the great coaches, you know, could probably stand toe-to-toe with any male in college basketball and win, you know, coaching guys. It's a different dynamic, but now I think Pat Summitt was certainly someone who could have proliferated there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I always would have been interested to see Geno coach men to see how he would have done. Yeah. But I'll say this. I bristle when they compare records between a men's game and, well, this is the winningest coach in Division I basketball, men or women's. They're two different games. You can be best in class, but they don't have the Pat Summitt used to come on a show. She told me flat out, she go, look, Tom, I beat teams early in my career that didn't even have a coach. You know, we would play the women's game, you know, and we play against teams that were like our intramural teams. And, you know, my record would get – so they'll tell you that. You know, they talk about Geno's 11 titles versus a Dean Smith or a Mike Krzyzewski. Forget about that. It's a totally different deal. You can't compare – you can't say what a woman's coach done is what a men's coach done and consider it the same basketball. Best in class, be the best women's coach or the best men's coach.
I agree, yeah. You know, like she said, you know – That was funny, but it's true, you know, and it's terrible that it ever was like that, that there was such an inequity among genders, and I think you still, you know, you still see that in the game today, although, you know, the women's game, like I tell you, it's just shot out the roof, I think, in the last 15 or 20 years, and I hope it continues to grow, and of course, the men's game continues to grow. I think there could be some rules changes in the men's game. That the women's game have used, like the quarter system, is one I'd really like to see, because the fouls are going to start over at the beginning of the quarters, and you're not going to have this parade to the free throw line like you have in some games we saw this year.
That's a great point. All right, before I let you go, Sporting News rolled out their way too early top 25 for next year, and they had six SEC teams in there, which is great. But that six SEC teams included LSU at number 13 and did not have Alabama on there. They had Kentucky at 3, Tennessee at 8, Auburn at 11, LSU 13, Florida 16, and State at 21. And I'm just thinking, if they only lose Colin Sexton, which it looks like they're going to lose, you know, they're going to be the only guy they lose. I know that LSU has this top four recruiting class coming in, a great class coming in and all that stuff. But, man, I'd be hard-pressed to think that Alabama wouldn't be a top 25 team next year with the rest of those young guns that they've got and another nice class coming in.
Oh, definitely. And I think Missouri's going to be in there, too. You know,
right.
So there's eight. I think Will Wade's done an awesome job. You know, LSU was like a spinning top. They got a good tradition down there. It started with Pete Maravich. It went into the 80s with Dale Brown and Shaq. And they've been, you know, kind of dormant for a while. And he breathed some life in there. He's got kids wanting to come there and play. So it's good that they get, you know, the notoriety. But, man, you got to throw, I think, Alabama and Missouri in there. Let's put eight SEC teams in the top preseason, top 25.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be incredible. And it's all about the coaches, isn't it? I mean, really.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, look at the coaching, you know, the changing coach. The funny thing is SEC football, you can make the case that SEC football, the coaching roster there has declined over the last few years. Might have taken
Definitely.
A little spike up now. But you look at the coaches that left SEC football and left Nick Saban to dominate that thing.
Yeah.
And then in basketball, the exact opposite has happened. We've had this influx of very good coaches, Rick Barnes, these kind of guys, Bruce Pearl, have come in. Avery. Yeah, these guys now have all come in. Yeah, and now Kermit's coming in. I think Kermit's going to do a good job. I like Kermit, man. I covered him.
Kermit's
in the middle.
Awesome.
He's a great guy.
People tell you inside the game, he's as good as any coach in the game, Krzyzewski or any of them included.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're asking our listeners to pick the score tonight, so help them out. Give us your score. What do you think the final score is tonight?
Villanova 81, Michigan 64.
81-64. Four, which covers the 7, 81-64. Does that go over? It was 60 carry to 1. You're right about on that number. You're right, just a little bit over the total. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think you're.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty close to it. I like that number. 8164. All right. Appreciate you as always. Thank you for the help during the tournament. Ken Cross has been our guest, and Ken, maybe our pass will cross at some SEC stadium this fall.
I hope so, Tom. I enjoy coming on with you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ken Cross. Good stuff, man. Right directly from Mayberry. And if I told you that dude was a blonde-haired, surfer-looking guy, you'd be shocked. Because you'd think he's working at Floyd's Barbershop on the Andy Griffith Show to listen to him. I'm just telling you. Like him. It's good work. Yeah. So they had Kentucky at 3, Tennessee at 8, Auburn at 11, LSU at 13, Florida at 16, and Mississippi State at 21. Those are the six SEC teams in the way too early Sporting News preseason top 25 for next year. And I'm just wondering if the Tide only lose Sexton, which is, you would think they'd be right near there. To me, LSU is the surprise there because, I mean, they got something building and they do have a number 4 class in the country coming in. But, you know, who had the number 1 class? Kentucky. And ended up, they weren't even in the top 25 when the tournament started. I don't think they were. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, we'll grab a break. We'll come back. Cole Kibaluk is up next. He was one of the guest refs in for Carolina's spring game. And we'll get his thoughts on doing that. And we'll get his thoughts on the spring game and what Carolina looks like. Back with Cole next, right here at 730-1039.
The Ump. WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Bring the whole family out to Talladega Super Speedway for the Kids VIP experience. Kids 12 and under can choose from a number of great options behind the scenes, like guided garage tours, pre-race photo ops, and more. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's the NCAA basketball national championship game in San Antonio, Texas. Coverage starts shortly after the Tom Abraham Show at 6:30, all right here on The Ump.
Live, play, ball long at Canebrake Club in Athens. Live in the ready-to-build custom home sites. Play at an 18-hole championship golf course, 6 lighted fast dry tennis courts, and relaxing swimming pool facility. Belong with their available customized club memberships. The club's vision of live, play, belong is evident throughout every area of the community. Make it a golf outing with their 18-hole championship golf course. This championship course of exceptional character goes beyond the expectations of every golfer, from beginners to seasoned professionals. Nestled among gently rolling terrain, beautiful trees, and natural water features, this golf course is visually striking and provides an enjoyable test for golfers of all skill levels. Canebrake Club and Golf Course will exceed your expectations inside and out. So what are you waiting for? Enjoy your tee time along with your custom club membership at Canebrake Club. Check out canebrakeclub.com for more information. That's canebrakeclub.com. And this Friday morning at 9, get your sweet deal of the week. You can get a round of golf plus cart at Canebrake Club. Log on to umpsports.com.
Did you know you can spray Linex on just about anything that needs protection?
More than just like bed liners?
You got it. How about adding a non-slip grip to your axe? Or how about a park bench, a trailer, van liner, work truck, or motorcycle?
I never thought of that. You can spray something like this?
Virtually anything you can think of.
I thought you were just the best bed liner around. I had no idea.
Think outside the bed liner and Linex it. Call 256-721-1331 or stop by and see me, Susie, at Linex of Huntsville on Research Park Boulevard.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, that's a good problem to have. Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, Uma Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an Uma mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. visit UMA.com. That's O-O-M-A. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
Hey, guys, it's Mandy, and I'm just going to cut right to it. It's time to give 50 of you a risk-free trial of Instadazzle. And you know what I'm talking about. It's that teeth whitening foam that everybody is talking about. It has all 5-star reviews. You brush it on just like toothpaste. It can actually replace your paste. I use mine 2 times a day, and I had to change nothing about my daily routine. I've been loving my results. It brightens and whitens my smile in just minutes. People are noticing it. Okay, so I drink coffee every day, the occasional red wine every now and then. It takes care of those stains, and there is no sensitivity because it's peroxide free. Get in on it. The first 50 listeners that go to Instadazzle.com, you're going to get a risk-free trial. That's Instadazzle.com. If you drink coffee or wine, you need to try this. I'm telling you, you have to see it to believe it, and you're going to love it. Don't wait. Get one of those 50 trials before they're gone. Go to Instadazzle.com right now. That's Instadazzle.com.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter, I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Weather is sponsored by KFC. KFC's $20 fill-ups will feed a family of four with 8 pieces of delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, 2 sides of taters, and gravy coleslaw and 4 flaky biscuits for just $20. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon, the high today around 74. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy with the low at 61. Tomorrow mostly cloudy and breezy. Showers and storms arrive late tomorrow night, the high 77. Then much cooler Wednesday with rain ending during the morning, the high at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. Bark, bark.
Back, Tom Abraham show. Cole will be joining us in a few minutes. It's a good thing he wasn't on, T-Mac, when you brought me back with that, because for whatever reason, that used to be the bump when he came on back in the day a couple of years ago when that song was in the rotation more regularly. And, in fact, I think I had it as part of the open, and he hates it.
He hates that song?
He hates that song. Absolutely hates that song. And I didn't really think of it as a Alabama song. It's a state of Alabama. It's not about the football team Alabama, but I guess the guy and his girl in the song are Alabama fans, and it just annoyed him, you know? So I'm glad that he wasn't on right now.
Well, because, there you go. Silver lining.
I don't want to get big time by Cole, you know what I mean? He hates that song, and you know, we go back now quite a while. So I don't, you know, he's got the 3-man front going on now, but he'll be joining us here in a couple of minutes. We were a little early getting to him, so but he'll be in. Detroit Tigers got a win today. Afternoon baseball got their first win of the season against Kansas City, who hasn't won a game yet. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they were up 5-0 in the first inning on the Twins. Twins scored 4 in the sixth. Pirates got something to make it 5-4. Pirates got something going on right now in the bottom of the eighth. I mentioned that because the Pirates are looking to get to 4-0. I mean, you know, that's a nice little winning streak to start the season. If you win 4 straight to start the season, I don't think there's too much expectation for the Pirates, but you know that would be a nice little start for them. Also going on this afternoon, St. Louis and Milwaukee are playing, and the Cardinals lead that one by a score of 8-4. Is it? Yeah, that's 8-4 in Milwaukee, and just underway is the Chicago Cubs playing the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds looking for their first win of the season, and that one is just underway. The Reds were swept by the Nats. The Nats are in Atlanta tonight for a game with the Braves to start that series. The Nats are 3-0 and haven't been home yet. And Kevin McAlpine will be joining us a little bit later on in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about that and kind of set that series up for us. We won't have that game for you tonight because tonight we got the national championship game. So we take you until 5:30, I guess, tonight, or right around there, and then we'll hand it over for the pregame for the national championship game. Another baseball note was Otani Shohei, is that how you say his first name? Shohei Ohtani? He made his first pitching start for the LA Angels yesterday, and he became the first major league player to start as a non-pitcher on opening day and then pitch within the team's first 10 games. First time since Babe Ruth did it in 1919. It's when I met Cole Kublik back in 1919. No, it wasn't that long ago. He joins us now. Of course, you hear him every afternoon, every morning and afternoon, 10 to 2, every midday, right here on the Ump with his cohorts on three-man front. Cole, welcome back. How are you, man?
Great, Tom. How are you?
Fantastic. You guys sound like you're settling into a nice little routine with the new show, and that's always how it is. It's like almost like the first day of practice, and then after you get going, all of a sudden you start with your line mates, you start kind of getting into a little routine, start thinking how other people are thinking and knowing when you're jumping in with each other and everything else, and the show's sounding better and better every week.
I appreciate that. It's obviously going to take some time. It's different. It's different for me. It's different for the listener. You know, like we have three good guys with three different perspectives on things that see things in different ways and that have different backgrounds. So I'm excited about the potential, and we just continue to grow. I thought today was better than Friday, and hopefully tomorrow will be better than today.
Who came up with the three-man front deal? I had some fun with that. We were calling it Three Dog Night and Three Doors Down. You guys gave away Three Doors Down tickets, which I thought was pretty funny. But who came up with it? Was that you walked into the office one day and they said, okay, the name of the show is Three Man Front, or did you have some input on it and you say, hey, how about Three Man Front?
No, actually, we were just kicking around a lot of different names, and that was one that I threw out. And the guys just immediately kind of liked it. And it didn't come along until a lot later in the process. It wasn't one of the first ones that we thought of.
Yeah,
and you know, I was trying to think of some kind of football vernacular that would work a little bit and that would be applicable. And there wasn't really a lot out there. All the names that everybody was throwing out, I thought were kind of corny and hokey or had been taken. So, three man front was just something that was easy, something that could be shared on social media in a very simple way. So we decided to go with it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't jam you with like midday 180 or whatever, because I know that. You know, the company has a few of those shows around the country in the midday, and, you know, they kind of do that sometimes. So that was cool that you guys got to do your own thing. Now, look, you're definitely the shade on that deal, okay? I'm going to say right now, you're the shade, or you might be head up on the center. I'm going to go there. But between your other two guys, who's the three technique and who's the five technique out of that group?
Have you seen Aaron Suttles recently? He's heavier than I am.
You might have to put him in the middle. Aaron's that big? I didn't think Aaron was that big. Well, then you got to put Aaron in the middle, and maybe you're the three.
I'm down a little bit too, but yeah, I'm taking the three technique.
Okay, so you're the three.
Now, defensive end in high school, so he'll be out at defensive end, and I'll take the three technique, and we're going to let Aaron play the nose.
So Suttles has got both hands on the ground, and just tell him just don't get double teamed. Just fall down on the ground and get double teamed. That's what you want him to do. Be the shade and fall down on the ground and make two people block you. All right, so you got to be a guest referee at the Carolina deal. I want to talk about Carolina here in a second, but how cool was that? Had you ever done anything like that, and does it make you want to do anything like that ever again?
It doesn't. Well, I'll say this. If I was going back to when I finished playing college football, it's definitely something that I would have considered as a career opportunity. I wouldn't try to do it now. Because I don't want to go officiate high school football for 10 years and then, maybe get to officiate 5 or 6 years in major college football. But it opened my eyes to the task that it is, what happens within each and every play. I mean, I was a line judge, so I was on the sideline at the mark of the ball, and the keys and the indicators that you go through pre-snap and once the ball is snapped on every play are pretty extensive. and you're keeping up a down and distance on your own because you can't rely on the chain gang or the scoreboard to be able to give you that on every play. The communication between your teammates, how close those teams are, other things to look for that you might not normally know to look for, not to watch the ball. I mean, there are a lot of things that I learned, a lot of things that I wouldn't have thought about on a regular basis if I hadn't done that. I'm very honored and appreciative to be able to have done it. And it was very cool. It was fun. But I kind of went into it trying to take it serious because I'm always trying to do a better job of understanding the game from that perspective. And I have a whole new respect for those guys because it is not an easy job. If you take your eyes off your indicators or your keys for 2 seconds, you can miss something that changes the game. And it's very difficult to get your eyes away from where they need to be. Like, I missed the pass interference because I was watching the ball. And it was very, very cool to be able to be down there and do it. And Mike Taylor was the official with me, and he was fantastic. Did an excellent job.
Yeah. And then now, did they give you guys, I assume you had a little bit of training, obviously. Steve Shaw was the white hat, right? I mean, you know, he was a longtime white hat director of officiating in the SEC. How much time did they give you to let you know what your keys are and this is what you're looking for and stuff like that?
We met for about 4 hours Friday night. We met for another hour and a half Saturday morning. And then we were in the locker room together for about 30, 45 minutes before the game, before we actually went out onto the field. So, I mean, it was pretty extensive as you're going to get keeping it into a weekend. And I've tried to tell Steve Shaw for years, like, he needs to have a camp for broadcasters, you know, 1 weekend out of the year. Come in Friday night, do it all day Saturday, leave Sunday morning, because I would love to do it each and every year. But this is kind of what that was. I mean, it was a brief overview of what it's like being a part of that team, and they are a team. And I mean, I don't think fans understand, you know, coming out there and, you know, there's you got your group at Neyland Stadium in front of 110,000 people, 105,000 people, and, like, it's just you. There's nobody else to rely on. So you have to trust your guys next to you, and that communication has got to be there. So it was pretty expensive as it could be, very enjoyable. And I would definitely do it again. I don't think they're going to have anybody back to do it a second time, but I mean, I would definitely do it next year if they wanted me to.
Now, you mentioned an off interference.
Speaking of Shaw wasn't going to let one of us be the white hat and have to stand on all those fouls. There's no way that was going to happen.
No, that ain't going to happen. You know, you can't be that guy. But now you as the line judge, you say you missed an interference call. Must have been something out there in the flat, I would guess. I think of the line judge, you know, watching obviously for offsides, guys lining up offsides, things like that. But then the other part is you got to mark the ball, right? I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing because that drives me nuts. A lot of times when you're watching a game on TV, you see the line judges come running in, and it's like, my God, you missed that mark by 2 feet. How hard is it to run in exactly where that ball is? You know what I mean?
No, I didn't think marking the ball was very difficult, but yeah, that was part of my job. It was a fade down the sideline, and it was around the 20. So at that point in time, Ryan McGee, who was the back judge, goes to the corner of the end zone to watch the corner.
Right.
And so my job was to watch it if it was sort of back towards the line of scrimmage a little bit, and it was. And it was a push-off, like, I don't know if I even would have called it. Like, they took us in afterwards and graded us, and we went through what we did and didn't do right and wrong. And they agreed when we watched the film that this probably could have been called, and it would have been okay if they called it, but they were okay that I didn't call it. It was very sort of – there was some gray area. There was some in-between.
Let them play. Football. Yeah. Yeah, got to let them play a little bit. Cole Kubrick with us. Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah, you got to let it go. All right. What, how much time, how aware are you? I think they put you on the sideline because you're a big guy. Nobody's going to mess with you and give you crap. But how aware are you of the coaches and the players and get back and keeping them away and maybe even a broadcaster? Because I heard that every once in a while, a broadcaster could kind of wander out onto the field and get in the way. You know what I mean? But how aware of you being a line judge are you of getting those people off your back? That would drive me nuts.
I back some guys up every now and then. You know, I know a couple of those guys on that team. I've covered that team, so I've interviewed them. So, you know, I had some fun with Zach Bailey, and I had some fun with Jake Bentley. And obviously, their strength coach, Jeff Dillman, is completely out of control, but he's a funny dude, a guy that I know very well. I had some fun with him also, and they were messing with me down there, but you know, I didn't run into reporters. Thankfully, Laura Rutledge was the reporter, but she also had the official gear on, so I think she was kind of – she knew to stay out of the way because she was sort of on my team at the same time.
Right. And who was the guy that called the penalty when Steve Spurrier dropped the ball? Because that was pretty funny. And I'm like, there's nobody near him. What did they call? They called Spurrier for, you know, should have been illegal procedure on Spurrier for dropping a ball. It hit him right in the mitts.
Yeah, it was Ryan McGee. And he called him for illegal man downfield. And if people don't know this, Ryan McGee's dad was a longtime ACC official and a little bit of SEC. And he told us that Spurrier had some choice words for his dad in a game when he was at Duke, and that was revenge. And he was out to get Coach Spurrier. He wasn't afraid to tell us that.
When you threw the flag, I don't know how many times you threw the flag, but did you do it emphatically? Because sometimes people are a little timid with their signals, or they throw the flag and just drop it. But then sometimes you see guys, they'll throw that thing 20 feet in the air. I mean, they'll let it fly, baby. Were you aggressive with the flag, with your technique on that?
No, because I didn't want to throw it, and it was a false start. It was on a tight end, but I still hated doing it because I didn't want to penalize those guys. But it was an egregious foul, and I saw Shaw running out and grabbing his, so he was going to stop play anyway, and I'm like, you know what? It's right on my sideline. I got to throw it. So, no, I didn't go crazy with it. I only threw two flags. The other was kind of a joint flag where we had to stop play. But, you know, I wasn't out there to throw flags. Now, you talked to Jordan Rodgers, and he threw a holding call that was absolutely egregious. When we went back and watched it, there's no way in hell he should have thrown a holding, but he was telling us, man, it's itching a hole in my pocket. Like, I got to throw this thing. I got to get it out. Like, I'm just waiting to throw one. And you know me, I'm like anti-penalty vulture guy. So I did not want to throw any flags. And it was kind of funny how the game played out because the first, I think, three or four drives were really clean and no flags were thrown. So I was not one of those guys that was out there anxious to throw flags on people. And we actually were coached that there's no such thing as a late flag, that they actually appreciate late flags because that means you're waiting for the play to settle down and you're waiting to see everything that happens within the play. So most people watching the game think that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Colt Kublik with us. All right. Now, it wasn't a real hot day, but, you know, South Carolina's picking up the pace. I mean, it offensively looked like they were kind of going with a little bit of tempo. Can you imagine these guys got to be in pretty good shape? Because sometimes we criticize some of the officials that aren't in great shape. But with this new pace of play for you know, all over college football and now with South Carolina, does that put pressure on the officials to really kind of be on the move?
If you're spotting the ball, yes. And I'm not talking about going to get the spot where I am, because even if it's on the opposite sideline, it's not necessarily my responsibility to do it. But, like, Jordan Rodgers was spotting the ball on every play. Like, he did a lot of running because you spotted it, you got to backpedal out of there. So, for that, maybe. But, no. I had back surgery 2 weeks ago. I can't even jog, and I was able to keep up walking out there.
Oh, okay.
So, listen, let's not act like you got to run marathons if you're going to go officiate a football game.
Okay. So, not too bad on that deal. All right, they played this thing. They had 18 players out. They got 17 starters coming back for next year, including, of course, Jake Bentley, which is the key to this whole deal. What's your thought? I mean, guys like the wide receiver, Samuel, and those guys, they don't really need to get a lot of the physical stuff. They need to be getting those mental reps and things like that. And they'll have plenty of time to get the timing down. But what's your thought on what Carolina can do and how much pressure they could apply to, you know, Georgia and Florida, I guess, which will be, you know, battling it out maybe at the top of that East, or Georgia and everybody else?
I think they're going to be a very dangerous team in the East. I think it's advantage South Carolina that they get Georgia in week two. They get them really early in the season. And I think mainly because of depth, you'd rather get them there than later in the year, because they actually have, a much better chance to pull an upset there than they do late. Look what they did to NC State early last season. So if Deebo Samuel is healthy, this team is dynamic on offense. Deebo Samuel, Bryan Edwards, a wonderful receiver combo. They're loaded in the backfield. I think from a skill perspective, South Carolina's not too far off from any other team in the league. And I mean that, any other team in the league. I'm not saying they're better than Alabama. I'm not saying the receiving corps is better than Auburn's top to bottom if Auburn's 100% healthy. But they're not far off from any team in the league. Offensive line is going to be the key for them. Zach Bailey's going back to guard. He's going to be at left guard. It's where he belongs. But that means you have two new tackles. And those guys didn't look great in that scrimmage on Saturday. And that's a position that's going to have to ramp it up because they're going to have to protect Jake Bentley. Now, I think going a little bit faster, which they're going to do to Brian McClendon, helps the offensive line, helps Jake Bentley. He doesn't have to make as many decisions. And I think it helps them garner a few more points, which puts a little bit of stress off the defense, even though we look at that as putting the defense in bad spots on the field as far as where they are, as far as managing a game. But I think Will understands no matter how they manage a game, it's going to be tough for his defense to hold people to 17, 18 points a game, no matter how talented you are. So he understands where the game is heading. He's making these changes for his team. And I really think that South Carolina is a player in the East. I expect them to finish no worse than third. And the only reason I say that is because I really have no idea what to expect from Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the wild card is what Florida is going to do. All right, shifting gears for a moment before I let you go. Have you heard from Gus Malzahn yet? Because Auburn's got no scholarship centers left after Caleb Kim went down. Do you have any idea? You know, I figure he might call you and see if you got some eligibility one more year, one more game, maybe playing the spring game or something. I don't know. But have you heard how bad this deal is to Caleb Kim? And you know, what happens next here with Auburn? They start shuffling guys around or what?
Yeah, it's not going to be me because, like I said, I had back surgery 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you had the back surgery.
I'm not even allowed to jog yet, so I'd be dead after a series. It's tough. And, you know, the most difficult part about it, Tom, is you got to do what you got to do. And you can't not hit. You can't not be physical. You can't not scrimmage because you got everybody else has to be a part of that team. And everybody else has to develop as a football player. So it's a tough spot for Auburn to be in, especially with J.B. Grimes coming in as the offensive line coach. He doesn't really know all those guys. He's trying to find the best five along the offensive line. Depth was already going to be a bit of a concern there, and this only makes it more challenging.
Yeah. And you know, I know Gus is saying that Jared Stidham, the decision hasn't been – I don't understand what the point would be there. If he's doing seven-on-sevens, he's getting timing down, he's plenty of time to work on that. You know, to me it would seem like this is all about Willis and Gatewood and that battle for the number two job. Is there any chance at all and any reason at all – for Jared Stidham to even be thinking about lining up on Saturday? He hasn't even strapped on his pads yet, you know, in camp.
Not in my opinion. You know, he's done some things in practice, but I just – it's the same thing with Tua. If Tua can throw the ball, that's great. Why even put him out there in harm's way to take the chance of a reoccurring injury? It just doesn't feel worth it. Now, if they want to throw Stidham out there and he takes a couple shotgun snaps and they literally say no rush at all and he throws a few passes like in the first series, great. But I just don't see what the benefit is because with the way that offensive line is probably going to look this season, he becomes even more valuable as to how you're going to manage your offense and how you're potentially going to score points. So I just don't see how it's worth it in any shape, form, or fashion.
And it's going to be hard to evaluate Willis and Gatewood because they're going to be in orange jerseys, right? I would think they're not going to go live on a quarterback. So, and what they bring to the table has a lot to do with their ability to move around and do that part of it. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know if I agree 100% though on Tua because he's in a real, you know, there's a real battle there. There's still some answers that need to be, you know, found there and so on and so forth. I think, you know, depending on what happens over the next 10 days and just, I didn't think there was any chance he'd be throwing already. So I wonder if they don't get him some snaps anyway. There's no competition for Stidham. He's a more veteran guy. But I don't know. Do you think Tua is that at that point right now where he doesn't need to take any snaps if he can go?
Not in the spring game, no. When you're trying to mirror a game situation and guys are pretty much going live. Even if you say the quarterback's off limits, guys are going live. Things can happen, just like something happened in practice when he broke the finger.
Right.
So. Again, I just don't see it's worth it. I understand there's a quarterback battle, but let them battle out through the summer and in the fall. And you probably think, I mean, we all believe that Tua is the leader going in anyway. So let Jalen Hurts work on his game, and you're that closer to having two elite quarterbacks in the SEC on the same team.
Yeah. All right. It's good stuff. Cole, I really appreciate you. Loving to work on a new show. I know you're going to be a part of us in the fall, which I really appreciate, and time to time as things develop here in the off season. And thanks for coming on. I hope the back is feeling better, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thanks. Cole Kubelik. always quick on the dump. T-Mac, you got to be fast with Cole. When I start with Cole, you got to be fast. When I start letting him go, you got to be fast because Cole is always quick on the dump. We know that.
That's mid-season form on the dump.
No,
there.
He's in mid-season form. I mean, he's going to dump that thing quick. He's on his probably on his way back from Birmingham, making that run back and forth. You know, he's going to make that dump quick. A couple of times we lost contact with him. I think he was, you know, probably in those mountains, you know, between Decatur and Birmingham. I'm not saying that this is the situation with Tua. All I'm going to say is this. I want to say two words. Trevor Knight. I'm just going to say that. I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that that's what Tua is. I'm just saying Trevor Knight. I mean, do you remember what that looked like that night he took out Alabama and was like through for, I think it was 97% completion percentage and 18 yards per pass, I think. Do you remember what he looked like that night? And you thought that, oh my God, this is next year's Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I mean? That's what that looked like. I'm not saying that that's what Tua is. All I'm saying is are we going to go, we still got to figure this whole thing out completely. We can't just go by a half of football and now all of a sudden say, Tua Tagovailoa is the best quarterback in the history of football off of that half. You know what I mean? Trevor freaking Knight.
I'll say okay? this, big dog. I was there. I saw that game live. I watched Trevor Knight live. So, yes, I do know exactly what that looked like. And I think that 97% is, like, dead on accurate.
But. Right on. I think I hit that right on the head. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying he's that guy, but I'm just saying – we've seen that. I mean, how good did Trevor Knight look that night?
He looked great. I mean, the difference, I mean, there is a small difference just because Trevor Knight had started a few games in the regular season, so you got to compare there. Tua, that's pretty much the only meaningful play we've seen Tua play, so there's your difference.
Yeah.
He's even more of a question mark, I would say.
Jabal is claiming, Jabal is complaining about 7:30 again. Is the AM coming and going or what?
Yeah, it's some patchwork going on with that thing, but eventually, once the new transmitter and all that stuff gets situated, it'll be better, so just hang on. I mean, it might be a little bit, but it's going to get better.
I don't know why he has a problem with 103.9, though, because everything I've heard is that it had no impact at all on 103.9. I mean, I don't know where he is, but I guess, you know, you can be in a spot, but I don't know. But he also says that the ump has become 20 hours ESPN. I don't even know what he means by that. I'm not sure. We'll be back. It's Tom Abraham Show. 730 1039,
The Ump. WUMP Sports Radio, The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute.
This is it. The road to the Final Four has reached its conclusion. From the field of 68, we are now down to two, Michigan and Villanova. And I've got to say, as much as I love Michigan, they are in deep. The thing about Villanova, they will not dazzle you with a bunch of lottery picks. They'll just carve you with passes and bury you with threes. And it's not like you can focus on just one guy. Virtually every single one of them can shoot it. Six guys were in double digits on Saturday night. Clinical, surgical, precise, merciless, call it whatever you like. They took apart a really good Kansas team and did not let them make a sound. If this were anybody other than Michigan, I'd ask, why are we wasting our time with this and just give the Cats their trophy right now? Michigan's great defensively, but I can't take them here. I can see where somebody might. It's just not going to be me. I'm Jim Rome.
If your wiper blades are worn and streaking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save $8 instantly on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Improve visibility and save money with Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Plus, take advantage of our free wiper blade installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 30.
Are you tired of the gym and exercise gimmick infomercials? Why not get in shape at home with Fitness Club quality equipment? At Huntsville Fitness Equipment, you'll find the latest fitness technology, including the Precor's new line of ellipticals, treadmills, and bikes. Personalized workouts, presets, and exercise profiles. It's like having your own personalized trainer at home. They're your preferred retail business dealer with residential and commercial delivery and setup, with 0% financing available. Check out fitnesszone.com or visit them at 7540 Memorial Parkway in the Rosie's Plaza. Huntsville Fitness Equipment. We're serious about fitness.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Hey, you've been sitting in front of that fan for a while now, Deborah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
No, I'm good.
You sure? Because your lips are looking pretty chapped.
That's life on the open road.
Well, yeah, it would be. But we're in an office building.
It's hard to be without your bike. So do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to a short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using our intuitive online dashboard. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
The Braves are back and ready to make 2018 the year they got back into the race for the National League East.
High fly, deep to left field, back toward the wall. That ball is gone for Freeman.
Tonight, opening week continues at SunTrust Park with another huge division battle as the Braves take on the Washington Nationals. Braves Radio goes on the air at 6:20 Eastern, 5:20 Central on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon, the high today around 74. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy with the low at 61. Tomorrow mostly cloudy and breezy. Showers and storms arrive late tomorrow night, the high 77. Then much cooler Wednesday with rain ending during the morning, the high at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Hey, it's our time. Call the Big Dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
All right, 2 hours are in the bag. Coming up, Damon Amendola at the top of the four. We'll get his thoughts on the national championship and we'll give him a chance to make a pick as well. We do have a Friday. Well, it's not a Friday trifecta. It's a championship Monday challenge for you. Your chance to nail the score tonight or get as close as you can. Whoever comes closest to the final score with the right team winning will go in the Talladega weekend drawing. You get a ping pong ball in the Talladega weekend drawing. It won't be long now for that. So if you want to get into that, you can. We'll do some football with DA as well, some NFL. And more. He's snowed in, probably. If he's in New York, he's snowed in. Because they got hammered today. All right, it's the Tom Abraham Show. Hour number three is next, right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
And 1039, The Ump. More sports.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Being a pit crew member is dangerous. Case in point, Chris Buescher's Jack Mann on the 37 car. He received torn muscles in his leg. Ouch. After being hit on pit road during an early stop at Martinsville, Zach Young was transported to a local hospital during a caution by ambulance because they don't have a tunnel at Martinsville, so they had to wait for the racing action to stop before they could evacuate him. I'm sure you were asking yourself the question, when was the last time a Cup Series race was postponed due to snow, like this past weekend at Martinsville? Well, to answer your question, in case you're discussing it at the water cooler today, is Atlanta 1993. William Byron is on, talking about Phoenix getting their start-finish line moved to turns 1 and 2, among other things.
I don't really think it'll change the way the race is that much, other than the restarts. I don't know how the restarts are going to go just because of the dogleg, but I think that it's going to be a new kind of fork in the road, and we'll see how that plays out once you get to turn 1, I guess turn 3 right now, but it's definitely going to change the way you talk about the track. I'm sure the first time we come back, I'm going to say turn 3, and it's going to be turn 1, and we're going to be all confused. So
right.
I'm sure that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be chaos with that start-finish line right there between turns 1 and 2.
The final lap.
If you're a pro, you don't buy a little of this or that. You buy a lot of this or that. And at the Home Depot, you save even more. Save up to 15% at bulk discounts on select pro-grade products from top brands like 3M, Loctite, and Liquid Nails. As a pro, you work hard for your money. You shouldn't have to work hard to save it. Up to 15% at bulk discounts on select pro-grade products. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details.
How do you Friday? Whether you're trying to firm up, slim down, feel better, or simply take a break, Smoothie King has the smoothie for you. And with our $5 Fridays, you can Friday with a purpose. 32-ounce smoothies are just $5, and 32-ounce meal replacements are just $6. All blends, all flavors, all Friday. So how do you Friday? Friday like a king. Only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Participating locations, some restrictions may apply.
Pack up the crew and head out to Talladega Super Speedway for race weekend, April 27th through 29th. GEICO 500 ticket holders can enjoy free camping in three different campgrounds around the track. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Hey, Rocket City, Ryan Brown here for the Jocks Roundtable. Back live with you 6 until 10 Tuesday morning. Avery Johnson recaps the national championship game with us at 7:30. Cole Kublik, a three-man front, the SEC Network and ESPN on football at 8. And Clay Travis from Fox Sports at 9:30 on the next Jocks Roundtable.
Napa know-how.
Why are Napa Exact Fit wiper blades called Exact Fit? For starters, they install in seconds straight out of the package for an exact fit. And we've got tons of sizes for tons of vehicles. So chances are, no matter what you drive, we'll have an exact fit. That's Napa Exact Fit wiper blades. $10 off when you buy a pair. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Bumper expires 4/30/18.
Hey, you've been sitting in front of that fan for a while now, Deborah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
No, I'm good.
You sure? Because your lips are looking pretty chapped.
That's life on the open road.
Well, yeah, it would be, but we're in an office building.
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on specials, or take an extra 10 to 20% off with your Macy's card or savings pass. Take 30% off one pair of shoes for her, 40% off two or more. Save 35 to 60% on fine jewelry, and take an extra 20% off with your savings pass during our diamond sale. Plus, save 50% on spring's hottest sportswear for her. Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on specials and more. Savings off sale prices exclusions apply. Extra savings exclude specials.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergy.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The